Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Religion Means Alive. We'd like to greet our honorable and noble listening audience today with the greetings of peace, safety, and security, and prosperity. Assalamu alaikum. The peace that God obligates us to sustain in our life and in our activities. It is an honor for myself to be here with you all today. This is Religion Means Alive with Imam Alfred Muhammad. I'm filling in today, Mujahideen Muhammad, and we would like to have an open discussion. There's several things I'd like to cover in this coming hour or so, and we appreciate those who tune in every time because God has given us the ability to live in a certain space and time, and spending it with the believers is paramount. So we thank Allah God Almighty for allowing us to be here today with you all. You have to excuse, if you can, my background. I have two pickups. I am a taxi driver. I like to call it a human transporter that I was obligated to pick up before I was accepted this responsibility. So if you hear a door close or a little noise, excuse my background. We would like to open up with a verse, a short surah, chapter from the Quran, the book of guidance for all people, chapter 103, entitled Al-Asr, or The Pressing Time. We begin always seeking protection from God, or with God, from the accursed enemy, the open enemy of humanity. We seek his protection, that is God. We seek his aid and his guidance. We begin with the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We will read it in the Quranic Arabic, and then we will translate it. I think we have here, this is an English meaning and notes by Sahih International. There's several translations that are in the Americas now, and we just have access to this one right now. Wal Asr, by the time. Inna al-insana la fi khusri. Indeed, mankind is in loss. Illa al-ladhina amanu وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. That is, except for those who have believed and done righteous deeds and advised each other to truth and advised each other to patience. So we wanted to begin the program with this statement or revelation from God as a protection for what we are going to do today. So, again, it is our intention today to share with each other words of wisdom and understanding from the Holy Book, but also from our experience. And I'm looking for a email I received not too long ago from a student of religion, world religion, and he had a series of questions. And I thought it would be appropriate to share those questions and answer them as a believer. And we will also ask for anyone else who would like to participate to share in that in this discussion. So until I find that, I will just share some of the concerns that we encounter when we deal with the people of other faiths and the people in the society where the religion are pluralistic. We're living in an environment where you have people from all over the world, very diverse cultural community in America, and you see people, because they have the freedom to establish their religion, you get to experience different people's view, perspective on human life, on God, on just their everyday experience with nature also. So it's never, for the believer, there's never, there should be never an opportunity, or there should never be a time when a believer feels lost or confused about their purpose or about their role. Our role and purpose, as we are taught in Revelation, is to serve the Creator, the Maker. And as we greet you all with peace, our role is to maintain and sustain the peace amongst people, first and foremost, but also in creation as well. Again, if you're here on Religion Meet Alive, you're welcome to join in the conversation by pressing 1 on your phone. We will bring you into the host queue, and you can join the discussion. Okay, so one of the questions that he asked, I'm going off of memory now, is called, what is the Quran? What is the Quran? And how is it different from other sacred books? What is the Quran, and how is it different from other sacred books? And also, how is it similar? I think he also had concerns about how is it similar, as well as it different from other books. So again, we're speaking to you as a believer, also as one who studies the history of our religion, but more so we're coming from our belief. Again, we always open to correction, even criticism. So the Quran, simply put, is a communication from God that was given over 1,400 and now 30 or 40. The Muslim calendar, Islamic calendar, starts from the day of the Hijra, the day when the Prophet migrated from Mecca to Medina. So we're living in the year 1435 from that Hijra. But we know that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, of Arabia, received revelation 13 years prior to that migration. So the Quran itself has been in the world, in humanity, from the revelation of, from it being revealed to Muhammad 13 years before the Hijra date. So whatever year we are counting as the Hijra, we could add 13 more years, and we could succinctly say that that is the beginning of the coming of the Quran. And it was coming down in various situations, various occasions during the life of the Prophet from that time until he passed away at year 63. So for 23 years, 13 in Mecca, 10 in Medina, 13 years, this revelation, this communication was coming to the heart, we believe, to the heart of the messenger. And he then in turn, he shared it with his close companions, who in turn shared it with their companions and their friends, and it became a message spread to all the people that were present at that time. So as it was being spread and taught by the Prophet and shared amongst his companions, those close followers, it was also being recorded by those who can write. They were recorded on animal skin, on leaf, on wood, and various things they would preserve that revelation. There came a time near the end of Revelation where the Prophet is reported that he was visited by the angel Gabriel or Jibril, where he, at two occasions, and it's reported that Abu Bakr, one of the Prophet's closest companions, were present at one of those occasions, where it is said that the Prophet read the whole or recited the whole Quran from beginning to end in one standing. And so that was near the end where it was arranged and completed with the Prophet through the angel Jibril. And it is in that same formation as it is today, from Al-Fatiha, meaning the opening, to An-Nas, meaning the people, or humanity. So that is the Quran. It is given in the Quranic Arabic language, and the question is asked in the Quran, is it amazed that the book is given into a tongue of an Arab, and that's what he spoke. So the question is solved. Why is it given the Quran in Arabic? Because that was the language that the last messenger, the last prophet, spoke. Also, it is understood by extended explanation that the Arabic language itself is a language of nature, meaning that it sounds, its grammatical expression is compatible with nature. So it is an original language in the sense of its compatibility with creation and nature. And so the last message that is for all people come in the language that is complementary to nature. And it also says in the book that the way of this pattern, this revelation, this life that we accepted as Muslims, or one who submits their will to the peace of God, it is patterned after the nature of humanity. The fitra nature is also compatible with the nature or the revelation. So that's very important. So that's in the capsule. What is the Quran? How is it compatible, or how is it the same as other revelations? How is it compatible with other revelations? It's compatible with other revelations because the Quran says, as it was proclaimed by the Prophet, that it is a continuation of previous scripture that God communicated with previous messengers and prophets before Muhammad of Arabia. And in those communications through those messengers and prophets, again, it was shared with close companions, and they in turn shared it with others. And they also compiled revelation. But again, as history tells us and shows us, that some of the message was kept among a certain class of people or a certain family of people or a certain standard was made out of revelation, which in turn altered or changed the original message. And over time, the original message was distorted, and then in turn it was lost, or it became locked up where it was unable for the common person, this is important, it was unable for the common person to understand what is my duty to my Creator. I understand, or I may try to understand what the leader might say, what the pastor, what the reverend, the bishop, the rabbi, and even today, what the imam might say. But what is it that the communication, what is it that God is saying to me through the communication? So the revelation, the Quran, comes complementing and identifying what other people of faith claim is from God, claim is from their communication that their messengers receive from God. And it also, one of the attributes is called Furqan, the criterion, the one that distinguishes what is truth, truly from God, and what is false, what was intervened or altered by humanity, or people who came out of their human nature and got more driven by classism, got more driven by even sexism. There was times where the women were not even allowed to preach the word of God, let alone decide, you know, how it should be compiled. So that's how we believe it is a connection with previous scripture. How is it different? We believe it is different because, again, the communication with Muhammad, from God to Muhammad, was in one time period. It wasn't over different generations. It wasn't different people receiving a communication from God. It was one man, we believe, who qualified himself by being intact with his human nature. God reveals to us in the Quran that he lived a lifetime among them, meaning among those, among you, meaning humanity. So his character was witnessed, his actions were observed. So the message that was received by Muhammad, or the message that was received to Muhammad, was one in one lifetime. It was one continuous communication in his lifetime. That's the main difference from the Quran and other scriptures. Other scriptures we know, some know more than others, but a general understanding of the Bible and the Torah, that it was given at different times through different messengers, and some of things came as a result of scholars who studied, and then they in turn gave explanation, and they put that as part of the inspired word of God. So that's a basic understanding of what is the Quran. We would like to check our audience to see if we have any questions or comments or concerns in regards to what was shared thus far. So you're welcome to join in this discussion. It's an open discussion. We are sharing some comments or some notes that we were asked by a student in the world of religion who asked in particular about Islam, Muslim, and what is the belief. So we're answering some of his questions primarily as a believer who's a student as well as a follower of the religion. Continuing. So that's what is the Quran. Secondly, or another question that comes to mind that I'm going off of memory here, another question was, who is Allah? That was the question. Who is Allah? Sometimes we take for granted being Muslims in I know such as myself and others who were raised in a Muslim environment, we've been protected by a lot of false beliefs in religion. And we always thank Allah for our parents and our community for protecting us and preserving us and guiding us to sustain our life that they chose and that we in turn have to choose for ourselves to live and establish. So that when we are in, when we meet these encounters with people, that we are respectful, but also aware of the dilemma, because there's a dilemma to different people when you encounter someone who's been taught one thing about something for so many years, for so many and so many different circumstances, that when you go in a different environment, a school environment, a work environment, even a sport, a play environment, and you encounter other people who also have been taught something for so many years in so many different situations, there's a dilemma that arises. And in some environments, they say, don't even speak about religion. Don't even speak about politics, because there's so much tension and confusion. But here on Religion Means Alive, this medium of expression that has been established by Imam Alfred Muhammad is a great opportunity for people of all faith to come and share their perspectives, their understanding, and for you all to listen to our perspective and our understanding that has been revived in Islam in the world by none other than the great leader and teacher, the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Imam W.D. Muhammad. So this is a blessing today, as all blessings are from Allah, and we thank Allah for our teachers and our protectors. So who is Allah? God says in the Quran that I am as my devotee sees that I am. I am as the believer sees that I am. says a lot in itself, but let us share some understanding from this perspective. The believer sees the best. The believer wants to put his trust or his or her trust in that which is established, that which is honorable. The believer doesn't take the low roads. The believer is encouraged and picks up the challenge of the high road, the road of struggle, the road of effort. So the believer is not satisfied necessarily with a yes or no, or as they say, a black and white answer. Though the believer accepts things clear and definite as yes or as no, or as clear as white or as clear as black, meaning distinguish. You can distinguish clearly from what is white and what is black. That's what it means. But the believer accepts what is established, what is true, what is worthy of trusting. So when God says that I am as my devotee sees me as I am, we have to look to the heart and the mind and the soul of the sincere believer. That is to say that we don't put Allah in any images or any symbols or any concepts, any mythology. The sincere believer, he accepts and he trusts. He puts his trust in what was revealed to Muhammad. But also, even if he was not exposed to the life of Muhammad or the history of Muhammad, even though we live now in the world, they say over 7 billion and almost 2 billion are Muslim who are aware of the name Muhammad and the name or the revelation, the Quran, there's still people who might not have access to that. But God has put it in nature, we believe. God has put it in nature for his creation to know him, to know that the Creator exists, that the person is not responsible for his own creation, meaning that he's not responsible for his existence. It's coming into existence. But he is, God has given us the ability to be responsible for our life, even though we're not the primary cause of our life. So this is already clocked in nature, and it's also clocked in the human soul. So, who is Allah? Allah revealed. Kul hu Allahu ahad. Say he, Allah is one. Allahu samad. Allah is absolute. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He did not give birth, nor was he born. وَلَمْ يَقُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. And there exists nothing like unto him, like unto that one. So God has no need for a consort, no need for there's no opposite for God. God doesn't need an assistant to create himself, nor was he born from two and became one. This logic or this example that is given in other scriptures is not original in the sense of revelation from God. And there's a whole history that if we would take the time and do a little bit of research, we will see how these stories and these examples came up and how they spread today. So we believe God is the one who is responsible for all creation. God is the one who created all human beings from one soul. And out of the soul, in the soul, there's the male and the female. He created one entity called the human soul, and it was put in the male body and the female body. But the soul is one. The human soul for the female is the same soul for the male. There's no two souls. God said he created connection while he died. He created from one soul. And the soul he put into two, man and woman. That brings us to a lot of issues that is going on in today's society with gender role and responsibility. And even they call it something they call marriage equality, where those who know but are greedy and are using their psychology or their scheme to manipulate the masses of people who are ignorant by exploiting things that are contrary to nature, let alone revelation. These things that are being promoted in this society are contrary to nature itself. Nature itself proclaims balance, equality. Allah has established this whole creation upon a balance, upon a scale. And everything that comes out of it is upon that nature. So let us not be confused as believers in revelation and believers in God and believers in humanity. We are told we should trust human nature. If we believe God created human nature, we should trust the potential that God created for human nature. We have a caller, 347-608. Welcome to Religion Means Alive. State your name and where you're calling from.
Yeah, this is Brother Savage, not from Far Rockaway. Yes,
Welcome to Religion Means Alive.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say, I remember the man Wahid Muhammad saying that if you want to see Allah, look at your life. And that's mm-hmm. something that I could always work with, because I know what I went through on my way up. I mean, it's just a pure miracle. Like so many other brothers, just a real miracle that I'm still here. But you know, as I was coming up, you know, Islam made so much sense to me. You know, when I was talking to, I was getting the debates with Christians, and, you know, their argument is always, you know, they never listen to it. You know, they just kick it out there, something that they're just used to hearing, and they're accustomed to talking, and they throw at you all the time. But the sensibility in Islam is what brought me in, even though I didn't come right away, because I was young, and I was just starting to, I was getting pulled on by two women. You know, I had the across the street and pulled me, and then I had Islam, and I was blessed because coming out of the 40 projects over there, there were so many in South Jamaica, there were so many brothers. It looked like half the brothers who came through came out in projects. So there was always somebody to discuss something intelligent with and get into an argument. So, but I appreciate it. And like I said, you know, when the man explains things in town, he don't give you no whole lot. He give you a little, but it can be a lot. It takes you a long way. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, alaykum as-salam. Peace be upon you. Thank you. You brought out three issues that I... would like to address. The first one, you quoted the Imam, and it reflects what we share with you from Revelation, that God says that I am as my devotee sees that I am. And then the brother just shared with us that the Imam said that if you want to know God, look at your life. This is also a reflection upon what the Prophet said, Muhammad, that is, anyone who has seen himself have seen his Lord. Anyone who has seen himself has seen his Lord. That is to say that the self, as we were talking about, the soul, the life that we have inherited, that is, the body has inherited the life that God created. If you're a male, you have inherited the life that God wanted you to grow into. Female, also. Allah has created you and the female sex and has given you the human soul. The human soul is one, the sex are two. Very important. So this creation, this law, this practice of male and female intercourse, creating children, continuing the life to establish that soul, that one soul, is not by our doing. Once we come to this understanding, once we come to this revelation, come to this science, we come to this perception, we can see that this is not our doing. This is God's doing. But the brother brought up a very important issue that some young people deal with today. And I'm sure, as he mentioned, he dealt with when he was young, coming through his hard times, the projects was the thing that brought this out. This what I want to talk about. Basically, there are more than two, but there are two types of people in society when you're dealing with leadership over other people. You have those who want to control the potential and the resources and for the exploitation of those who accept that, then you have those who want to contribute to build up the human nature and the resources for the benefit of all. There's always room for discussion in this, so again, we will welcome you back for those who would like to comment on this, but we just want to share some thoughts. So these environments that we see, war-torn environments, drug abuse environment, sexually exploited male and female environment, child neglect, child abuse environment. These things are not as the believer. The believer doesn't believe that God approves. God, Allah did not create humanity to live in these situations. And this was given in among the revelation where the Quran talks about God is making a khalifa, God is making a vice general, a manager in the earth. And the illustration goes, someone or element from among the angels posing as the angel, meaning posing as one who is in accord and in order with the nature of God, the nature that God approved as, why would you make one from those who shed blood? God replied, I know what you know not. So, though we are in various times, in various communities across this country and in other parts of the world, having people suffer because of the neglect of other people, still we must believe and we must hold on to the rope, to the connection that is the word of God, that Allah wants for us, God wants for us a prosperous and productive life. God wants for us a life that is filled benefits, peace, security. And this is a big struggle in an environment where education, resources is low, poverty is present. That is one of the schemes of the Satan, of the enemy of humanity. That is the human being or that person who has come away from his human nature. His human nature to care for others. His human nature to care for the weak. We can see that very clearly with every newborn baby. It is clocked in the mother and in the father, and even in other children, that when that baby is crying or in need of something that you come and assist. That's clocked in nature, in human nature, as well as in creation. So that environment, that society, that community that reflects and establishes their social order upon that same principle, that is the best. That is the preferred way that God wants for humanity, for society. But we have projects, as the brother mentioned, where some people have an idea for how they should control other people. And they create an environment. They create a way. They create, and they have their right. Allah has given us the free will to learn, to establish ourselves in knowledge, to establish ourselves in comforts, to establish ourselves in resources. But with that responsibility, or with that authority, comes responsibility. That's why, and one of the questions was asked, what is the judgment, or what is the hereafter? What is paradise? What is hell? All these concepts that are given in religion. What are these things? All these things can be summed up in a simple expression where the Quran says, to believe in God and the last day, for those who do that, there should be no fear nor grief. That is, we believe in God, we trust God, we trust the existence of God, but we also trust what God reveals. And we also believe that we'll be held accountable for our lives, for the trust of managing the world, managing people, managing resources. So this society, this country has a history of enslavement of human beings. And God will restore, has restored. God has restored those human beings. And it's continuing to restore those human beings. That is one of the biggest efforts from this broadcast, is to reach out to those who have been torn away from humanity and give them the insight, give them the understanding, give them the hope. But more than the hope, give them the tools, give them the resources for them to establish and return to the world family, to the human family. So we're thankful always. We can never thank God enough, Allah enough, for allowing us to be present today in this environment, in this world, and having hope, having goals that we're aiming for. And we ask you all to share that good word, share the good news. You never know what your word, what your advice, what your communication with other people might be. You don't know what effect it could be on their life from someone who has been oppressed, someone who has been left out of the race. They talk about racism, right? Racism will never stop here. Racism. There's only one human soul, we mentioned, that Allah created. There's elements of the soul. The soul evolves from Adam to Muhammad. That evolution that we see, that was given in the night vision of the Prophet, peace be upon him, when he shared that he went on a night vision and journey from Mecca, from the Kaaba, to the farthest mosque, and to the levels of paradise. And from there, after that experience, the history shows and tells us from that moment the Prophet was given the authority to migrate, to come out of that oppressive environment, to come out of that environment of just faith and belief, but come into an environment to establish that, to establish your values. As one brother put it, to institutionalize your values. In Surah Al-Baqarah, the second chapter of the Quran, is loaded with laws and regulations, loaded with instruction on how to govern, how to even punish, how to set up a human peaceful social order. That was given, and that was a responsibility when Allah created an environment for them to have that authority. This religion has been in this country for over, some say, they have records that show that Al-Islam or Muslims were in this environment going back 700-800 years before the discovery of those Europeans who was on a voyage, or those Spaniards who was on a voyage. There were Muslims who were here before then. But Islam in the public, culture, in the common cultural perception, goes much earlier, much closer to us now. Starting with, some give the credit to Noble Dr. Ali, give the original, the most popular, maybe because he had more, the message of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad hit more cities than Noble Dr. Ali. But we can all say that the clear perception comes with Imam W.D. Muhammad, and that's noted in this country's history. And I will send you a reference before I join this caller, have this caller join us again. If you check out, if you do some search, if you put in the Google, if you have internet, search the Williamsburg Charter. Williamsburg Charter was a conference. It was the first Liberty Summit that happened in 1988. June 1988, where Imam W. Muhammad was the only Muslim that signed among 199 others, there were 100 altogether signees of the reaffirmation or the reconstitution of the first liberty of the freedom of religion. So we're thankful to Allah, and we now like to bring on, again, the caller 347. Welcome again to Religion Means Alive. 347-608, you're on. Is this Imam Thabit again?
Oh, well, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't want to?
I didn't call back, but I'm still on the line, yeah.
Okay, no problem. Well, let me ask you, brother, were you present or were you aware of that event in the 1980s?
What event?
It was called the First Liberty Summit down in Williamsburg, Virginia.
No.
Okay.
No, sir, that wasn't it.
No problem. That resource with you for us to enhance in our understanding of the great mission, the great role that we today who are claiming this life of Al-Islam. We have a great responsibility, and Allah has made conditions very favorable for the believer. If he seeks to do a thing, he seeks to perfect it. He seeks to get the best out of it. So that is what we would like to share with us today. We are always happy to be alive and well and among those who seek the same. So again, we have another caller here from 347-447. Welcome to Religion Means Alive.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, my brother. How are you doing today?
Alaikum salam.
I appreciate your show. My name is Brother Mubashir Akhtar from Brooklyn, New York. I was there when the Imam was down in Williamsburg, Virginia, standing on the Jamestown Riverbank. I was there. And
please share with
us. That's a President Clinton was there, but this was the main point that the Imam, he asked President Clinton. He said, when he was talking, he stopped. He said, Mr. President, can I take time to clear something up? He said, yes, go right ahead, Mr. Muhammad. He said, I want to clear my mother and father's name up. He said, they went and found my father's driver's license, and they brought them to me. He said, and on my father's driver's license, his name was spelled Elijah Muhammad, M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D. And he said, my name was spelled like that on my birth certificate. He said, my mother and father's name was spelled like that 2 years before I was born. And he said, my name was spelled Wallace D. Mohammed, M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D. He said, why am I telling you this, Mr. President? He said, because the last three letters in Mohammed are spelled M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D. He said, the last three letters is M-E-D. He said, Mr. President, he said, I am not the mad Mohammed whose name is spelled M-U-H-A-M-M-A-D, and the last three letters in that name mean mad. He said, Mr. President, I am the Mohammed with the medicine. I am not the mad Mohammed. That's what the imam said. I was standing there when he said that. Not only I was, a lot of us were there because we took buses down there. There was a monumental event going down there signing the Bill of Rights. And the imam also, I have taste for the imam, said the name was spelled M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D up until 1952. That's when they changed the spelling of the name to M-U-H-A-M-M-A-D. And the imam said they used to announce that name, Mud, even though it was spelled M-U-H-A-M-M-E-D. He said, my name, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Elijah Mud, Carl Mud, Nathaniel Mud, Wallace Mud. They were calling the name Mud. Email said he went to the unemployment office, and he was looking for work, and the lady called his name, Wallace D. Mohammed. And when the email went up, email said he was angry. And when he went up and he confronted the lady, he said, listen here, my name is not no Wallace D. Mohammed. My name is Wallace D. Mud. But the email, he took it to a proper conclusion. Because the Quran, God said he's going to make his man out of the mud. And the man said, here comes the man out of the mud, Muhammad, the one with the medicine. That's what the man have taught us, my brother. Thank you very kindly for the time.
Thank you for sharing that. That's very valuable to the life for those who come, who change their names. They come from that environment, from the history of Islam coming from Medina, spreading out, and they come in this environment, and they change their names, knowing the correct pronunciation, knowing the correct understanding, and leaving away their inheritance. So we thank our brother for sharing that with us, because that should strengthen us. It should encourage us. That this thing that we call Al-Islam, or this way of life that we call Al-Islam, in this environment, in this unique cultural environment on these shores, coming from that, as the brother shared with us, the muck and mire, to be standing upright in the proper position, the disposition, the correct perception of the one who received the guidance from God. And that's an excellent leadway into one another question that he had. Who is Muhammad? Who is Muhammad? Muhammad, the Prophet, peace be upon him, was born in Arabia, in the year of those people called the year of the elephant, the year 570 AD. It is said that earlier, for his birth, there was a big leader, Abraha, who wanted to destroy that house. And it is reported that he sent elephants, big elephants. But before that, the custodian of the house, Abu Mutalib, the name of one of the uncles, I'm not too clear on that right now, but the custodian of the house came to him, came to Abraha, in this exchange of this ruler who wanted to dominate that area and get the economic as well as the political control, we use those type of terminologies today. took the camels of the custodian of the Kaaba. And he came to Abraha, as reported the story goes, he came to Abraha and asked for his camels. And the story goes that Abraha says, you're asking for the camels, but I'm getting ready to destroy the house. You should be worried about the house. And the reply was that those camels are my responsibility, and that house is its maker, its owner, meaning God, is his responsibility. He said God will protect that house. And we can say to this very day, we haven't made the trip personally. We intend to make the trip, the Hajj, the journey to that house, the first of the houses built for all people. But we know people who've been there. We have Imam Alfred, Haji, and others, Prophet Shaw, who've been to that house, and they can bear witness that the house is still standing, that the owner, the God, has preserved that house. And again, that is an example of the nature that God puts in humanity. That's one soul. That Allah, he protects that soul. No matter how far away humanity gets off, no matter how far away society steps away from that original nature, God has preserved it. And at any time, if it is his decision for you to return to that, it is said that if you walk to him, he flees to you, and he'll bring that result quick into fruition. So never give up hope, dear believers, dear Muslims, dear believers, dear friends and family. Never give up hope with your communication with your God, with your Lord, but more importantly, but also with importance, it is important to have your communication, have your devotion to your Lord, but also with other human beings. Allah said that he created us from one, and he said your community is one. So he wants that our human nature be respected, but also God wants for the society, the sanctity of the society, the individual rights of people in the society. He wants us to respect that as well. So we should be fair, brothers and sisters. We should be fair to ourselves, yes, but we also be fair to others and not want to lord and dominate over others. This is one of the biggest, these are the biggest obstacles that the rulers, those who people claim they represent the interests of them, if they don't consult the book of God, the book of guidance, they will lead our society astray. So people, it is equally our responsibility to take share of our freedoms, of our rights. Let us not be neglectful of that. Let us not take for granted that we are in a society that says you have the freedom of religion, you have the freedom of expression, you even have a free enterprise system, you also have the ability to educate freely, you can believe what you want to believe, you can teach what you want to teach. Let us not take for granted and expect others to take up our claim, our rights, our responsibilities, and establish them for us. It'll never happen. God gives us the authority, he gives us the responsibility, and he gives us the tools. He manifests for us opportunities to establish that life. Again, we have another caller. That call, is this 608-347-608? You're on? Did you have a question or comment? Okay. The other brother, 347-447.
Yes, sir. A question, okay. Young brother, what's your name?
Mujahideen. Mujahideen Muhammad.
Hey, man. You all right. You appeal to me that you're one of the young rising stars in our community, because I've heard you a couple of times, and you're a pretty good thinker. You think so. I like that. And this is what we need in our community, is because see, we don't have the proper understanding of when we say youth in our community, because we have been educated to see that the shaitan, whatever God say don't do, that's exactly what the shaitan do. He just do just the opposite. And so when we focus on the youth, now, I was looking at the news. They had two young girls, brother, that was on the news. Now, these young girls had read looking at one of them games, and they took one of their classmates. They were 12 years old, and they took this little girl, like they were playing a game, and took her out into the woods and killed her, stabbed her 12 times. 12 times. These are 12-year-old girls. And they got that from a story. One of those games that instructed them in order to be part of that particular game, this is what they did. And they did it. They carried that out. You know, so we as Muslims, we are obligated. Imam, they played a tape on 360 this morning. I think it was this morning. But the Imam said, when God said, let there arise out of you a group of people, a band of people, calling all to that is good and fighting against all that. He said, we have to have that to happen right among our own community that under his leadership. It has to be people that comes out from among the community of the Imam. And do exactly what God say. Let that group. You belong to that group, young man. When I hear you, you belong to that group that understand that we have to come out, and we have to do what God say do. We have to fight against that which is wrong, and call the people to that which is good. One of them young kids, when they were graduating from the high school down in Atlanta, Georgia, they had the courage to interview the Imam, and one of them kids and asked the Imam, said, "But Imam," he said, "you got a lot of accolades and a lot of awards and things." He said, "But what would you like to be remembered for most in your legacy?" And the Imam told that young man that I want to remember that I promoted the oneness of God, the oneness of God. And that is the thought of our Quran. We are the calling of people back to the oneness of God. And which people have been sensitized and trained to do that better than we have, my brother, are people that have been put under an idea and concept for 400 years of their life of seeing God in the image, looking like the people that took the freedom, justice, and equality from our mothers and fathers when they brought them from the continent of Africa. Now, we are in the position, because Imam Muhammad says, if you have a wrong perception of God, you got everything else wrong in your life. So we are that community. In this day and time, we, who say we follow Imam Muhammad, we are that community that God has blessed to be able to stand up in the whole world and call them back like our father Bilal stood up on the Kaaba when Muhammad the Prophet told him, go up on top of the Kaaba and call their name. This is what we are doing today, and I see you doing this, young man. Keep the good work up, and may God bless you and strengthen you that you keep the right focus that you have now, because you're going to play a great part in getting this work done that needs to be done for the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, so we can give our leader, as he asks us, give him a good home. Give him a good home. Keep the good work up, young man.
Yes, sir. Thank you. All praise is due to Allah. We thank our caller, the strength that he shared, that he sees. Real, as they say in the street, real recognize real. So, as the brother is sharing his impression of me on him, I can say sincerely as well, brother, that for you to recognize that Allah has blessed it in you also. And Allah will join us together. This is the day. As the Imam said, the day of religion, the day of deen, the day of standing, as you just shared with us, standing out, standing up for justice, not just among ourselves, but Allah says, the Quran is revealed, that you have to stand justice even against yourself, even against near kin, even against the rich, even against the poor. So it's not enough just to take certain issues that you are compatible with, that you are have the advantage over, and you promote that. But as the brother just reminded us, the Quran says all that is good, all that is known to be an established good, That is the duty of the believer, to stand for that. And we can't get caught up in these things where they try to put all these different titles and fragmentation of the human soul. And they try to classify it as that title. He's part of that group. Or he's part of that thinking. So we thank our brother for sharing that, for bringing that up. We have another caller, 401. Your religion means alive. State your name and where you're calling from.
As-salamu alaykum. Welcome to our barakatuh. Good evening. This is Sister Angela Marie Canston, Providence, Rhode Island. I want to read you something about unity. We must be eager to produce or to organize unity. We must endeavor to keep the unity of the spirit of togetherness in the bond of peace. Unity already exists because believers share one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one Ummah, one community. How do we keep unity? By expressing our different opinions and convictions with lowliness, submission, gentleness, and patience, submission to the will of Allah. Allah will give us the power to react in love toward those with whom we disagree. Allah, may our walk and our service be a picture of the unity of Allah. May our walk in unity fill us with the spirit that we might love believers and others as Allah desires. Unity among believers comes from our union with Allah, our submission to Him. Have a good evening, believers. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you very dearly. Thank you very kindly. May Allah improve your condition and give you strength and add benefits to you and your family. Thank you. One thing the sister said, outside of what she said, I don't know if you all heard it. I'm sure you did because I heard it, but I want to reemphasize it. She says there's already unity. There's already unity. So let us not forget that. Never feel that you are absent or that God is absent, or God is disconnected from your circumstances, from your situation. Allah is always present. He's always aware. He's always, and not only is He present and aware, but at moment's notice, according to what the sister just reminded us about, you can be restored back to the proper position you should be in. Again, we have 347. Welcome. Are you Imam Thabit?
No, I don't know, brother.
Okay, no, we're going to keep it going. Okay, no problem. Yeah, when you press 1 on the phone, it puts you in a question mark comes up. So, no problem.
Right.
Yes, sir. Thank you. So we enjoyed our time with you all today. We have a little more time left if you all would like to stay on. We can discuss some things further. I did want to share, the brother brought out something very, very dynamite in the sense of what gets, in the sense of energy, what brings about energy or brings us connected to that energy to get us through these obstacles that are put up by other people. And Allah tests us. He tests the believers with these obstacles. And he shared with us that if you do not have the right perception of your Maker, then other things will be affected by that. That's very true. And another result or another way of getting the result sometimes is not necessary to go directly at it. You know, in war and in other means of attack or effort, there's always a need for strategy and planning. And one of the efforts that has to be made for the one who feels that they're being attacked, they're being oppressed, that the Prophet stated that in the Quran is revealed, that our contention is not with you. Speaking to other people of the book, other people who believe in God, believe in human nature, believe in the destiny of society. our contention is not with you per se, but in the things that are detrimental, harmful to the life. And I'm sure if that brother was there that shared with us his experience down in Williamsburg, I'm sure he can also share his experience with us. We know in our history, the committee to remove all images to portray divine. Well, the Imam asked this question, and it's still in the Muslim Journal today, a message of concern, and we'd like to share with you. And this is something that you're not trying to spark hatred and confusion among people or get people to feel embarrassed about their beliefs, but it is the duty, as it was said in the first experience, the duty of the civilized, right, is to teach to the uncivilized. So a message of concern, what would happen if people would sit in churches throughout the world for centuries with the image of an African-American man as savior of the world before them? What would this do to the mind of the world's children? What would happen to the world's children put under a figure of a particular race presented, pitiable, and in pain, the savior of all men, quote-unquote? Quran, chapter 3, verse 64 states, "Say, O people of the book, let us come to common terms as between us and you, that we worship none but God, that we associate no partner with him, that we erect not from among ourselves lords and patrons other than God. If then they turn back, say you all, bear witness that we at least are Muslims bowing to God's will. Civilized nations should want that their religions be also civilized. False worship is the worst form of oppression. We are no gods. We are only men, mortals from the mortals. He, Allah, created." Quran. And this is encouraged. It says, visit the Masjid and Islamic Center. So this is encouraged that once we understand that we don't always have to go directly at people to present that. There are many ways. We have to teach this, as it said, with beautiful and wise presentations. Not forceful, not bashful. And we always ask about to present in the best way. To share with them, even though we might have difficulty doing so. It might be at the tip of our tongue. We might have to bite our tongue sometimes to hold back what we know and passionate about. But we're also told you have to fight them as they fight you. So if sophistication is being dealt with, the best way to deal with sophistication is with sophistication, in that example. So we have to continue to support this medium of expression, the Blog Talk Radio, with Imam Alfred Muhammad, Religion Means Alive. It is very vital. These things that we get benefit from, they come about because of effort, because of struggle, because of investment. And throughout the Quran, Allah asks us and brings to our attention not only the power of giving and receiving, but the real nature or the real origin of business comes from nature. I'll put it like that. The real origin of business, anyone who's successful in any endeavor, really, in the human society, it comes from nature. The handicap is when people try to hide that, don't want to disclose that. They want us to believe that things happen miraculously, magically. Well, it is magic, it is miraculously, but it came from God. And he gave us an intelligence to investigate, to inquire, to read, to remember. So let us always remember that and thank Allah, thank God Almighty for whatever benefits we have in man's world. But know that man's world, or the human, the social order, the political order, the business, the industrial order, all these things come from the Creator, the created order that Allah established. in nature. That's what the Quran, the revelation, the communication from God comes to a man or comes to humanity, one who is in touch with his nature, his sentiments, his intelligence. The brother, he gave compliments of a thinker. This is how God addressed all a nature and all people. All people have the capacity to think, as well as remember, as well as forget. But the thinking, and this is in men and women, Allah says, وَذَاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَذَاكِرَاتِ. That is for the thinking men and the thinking women. This is a gift from Allah. Intelligence of the woman and the intelligence of the man. Remember, the one soul created by Allah brings it into humanity by two, male and female. And why is that? Simply because the laws of nature and creation is of two, where Allah is only one. And this discussion is given in the Quran, where Jesus is reported to have said, I know not what is in your soul. I know not what is in your nafs. You know what is in my nafs. Allah gives us, reveals to us, in the mouth of Jesus, acknowledging that he does not know, it is not known to humanity, the origin of God. But God knows because he created the origin of humanity. The human being comes from the one soul. Out of the soul, the mate, the physical environment. The physical environment is based upon duality. From the duality, now you have countless men and women. All praise be to Allah. So Allah allowed humanity to grow from one soul, whether male or female, grows from one soul. And then they have mates. And how do we reproduce our mates? We have intercourse. We have marriage. So, brothers, it is a duty. It is a natural. It is the destiny of your nature to have intercourse. Naturally, sure, we see. Sexual, yes. Physical, yes. But that's not the end of our intercourse. We must think. We have to go in to the course of nature, intercourse. We have to enter the law of nature. We have to extract the abstract. The abstract comes because it was abstracted from physical. There's no abstract without physical. Allah is the only one that is present yet unseen. Again, he has not succumbed to the nature of life and death, sleep and slumber, anger, or even happiness. Though it is given in those expressions in different places of the tradition and even in the Quran. But it shouldn't be seen from the perspective of the human being. No, God, he approves things. He trusts what he approves. He created, he trusts what he created. He's the first of the believers. It is by the belief that God established in law that we become believers. There's no way we could be a believer if Allah did not believe in creation, that the sun is going to do what it's supposed to do, the moon is going to do what it's supposed to do, the rivers, the waters, the trees, the birds, the animals. God created that system. He trusts the system to do what it's doing. And he reveals to us as human beings, and he trusts us to order our life. He trusts our intelligence. That's a beautiful thing. Thankful to Allah. Allah entrusts our intelligence to look at creation and extract laws benefiting our life upon that discipline. That's the true Muslim. As Ibrahim said, Allah said he's the first of the Muslim. Yes, Adam is a Muslim. In nature, the natural man, but also you have to investigate with science, with technology. And Abraham is an example of that where he investigated. He asked Salam, not that I don't believe that you can make the dead rise, but for the comfort of my soul, for my heart's content. How will the dead rise? And Allah revealed, take the birds, train them, place them, establish them, put them, train them, place them on the mountain, call them, and they will come to you. As an example of how Allah, God Almighty, the Creator, will bring the life to the dead. And we could simply see that we weren't always here, so how did we get here? So we should already believe in life after death, because there was a time when we were not existing, we were dead. They have us believing, commonly among different religions, have people believing that death is the end. Death was the beginning. For all living things, death was the beginning. God said he created death and created life. He calls you to die, and then again brings you back to life. So we are thankful to Allah, our God, the Lord, the cherisher, sustainer, the evolver of the systems of knowledge we're taught. That this creation, as he said, has courses, has laws, has instructions. And from that comes guidance. Yes, so it is our duty, excuse that little pause, I had a brief interruption, but we're back on. We have a few more minutes. If there's anyone, again, who would like to share any comments, concern, to enrich further this discussion, it is imperative for us to do so. But again, as the sister beautifully shared with us, not just the concept of unity, but the construction of unity. And that should be all of our goal, turning to Allah, returning to Allah. Sometimes we come in the habit of saying when someone dies, they return to Allah. Their body, their soul is meant that it is back in the control of Allah. But Allah asks us, or establish for us an institution of not only faith and belief, but of salat, of prayer. And God says that never does he destroy any people until they left off prayer, the establishment of prayer. And everything has their mode of prayer. Every creature has their mode of prayer. And also it is stated that the celestial bodies, the universal, those things that are in the universe, yes, behold, they all swim. The term is given, swim. But the term we say, subhanAllah, glory to Allah, they all give glory to Allah as we should give glory. They surrender. They get in accord with their pattern. They follow a pattern. So let us all return to Allah constantly, eagerly. When we make mistakes, let us not harp, even if it was a conscious mistake. Don't even let a conscious mistake get you off of the path. Because God said, it's revealed, that the enemy of humanity, he will come to you from your left, from your right, from in front, from your behind, in the way of God. So as the sister said, unity is always present. Allah is always present. His path is always present. His direction is always present. So if you allow an obstacle or a setback to get you off of the path, to take from you your natural inheritance, the question is asked, who is to blame? If you blame a leader, if you blame an authority, if you blame a circumstance, if you blame a condition, God asked, did I not give you speech and intelligence and the ability to reason and think? And is not my earth spacious? So let us uplift each other as the brothers and sisters done thus far. They uplift my spirit. They lift my morale. They lift my conviction. Let us continue to do that with each other, because we want for our brother. And this term, love for our brother, what we love for ourselves, this term means to grow. It comes from the word meaning seed. So I want you to grow as I want myself to grow in every dimension. Is it something that you have interest in, something that you have a liking for? I want you to grow in that. I want you to be the best in that. By you being the best in that, something that you love, something that you want to grow, it brings benefit to me, because I also have something that I like and that I favor, and you wish that for me. It's easy to work with each other. It's easy to live with each other. It's easy to grow with each other. When I know my brother and my sister are rooting for me as I am rooting for them, are aware of my weakness and willing to come to my support to help strengthen me as I am for them, for their weakness, to come and help strengthen them. And this was demonstrated, and we have an obligation to establish, to continue it in this environment. We're going to be responsible. Those who accept it, we're going to be responsible to establish that. And everywhere, as the brother said, we have to get out into the community. That is one of the strongest impressions and emphasis that Imam Alfred stresses on this platform. That we didn't get saved from corruption of religion. We didn't get saved from mistreatment of people because of races. Allah didn't save us, give us true understanding for us to sit and be comfortable in an environment all to ourselves and listen to the love of this language and this understanding and be comfortable with that. No, we want this for our children. We want this for those to come after us to continue the struggle. Our pioneers, I love the pioneers. I love the pioneers mainly because I witnessed. And I had love for my father who witnessed what the pioneers did. But there's others who might not witness the value of our pioneers, so they don't know our pioneers. But still, it is for us who know to correct those who don't know. And never see something, as we are taught, that's wrong and can't change it with your hands. Speak out against it. And the least of things is to dislike it, to not support it, to not go along like it's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay to leave people who establish institutions in this community at the hand of those who are not for the benefit of for the destiny of this community. It's not okay. And as the energy that we receive from our pioneers and from other brothers and sisters in our community, it is our duty to strengthen those who put up with that, who are dealing with that. And if we have strength, it is an obligation for those who have strength to help those who are weak. So we shouldn't tolerate. It's not okay. It's not okay for schools in the name of our community, as the brother shared with us, and he shared several other times, I heard him share, about the naming of our community, the names that are on these buildings that don't reflect the best, don't reflect the medicine, as he shared, of Muhammad, and not the madness, as some people try to use, of Muhammad. Oh, Muhammad was a warrior. We got to fight calf. You know, they get into that argument of Muhammad. But they don't show how there was another fighter, a warrior, who knew Muhammad, who came, who was fighting his enemy, and found out that the general of the enemy was injured, and he went into the camp, he snuck into the camp of his enemy, and he gave medicine, he healed the captain of his enemy, and left out unnoticed. What Muhammad was he following? He was following the Muhammad, as the brother shared, as Imam Muhammad shared, the Muhammad with the medicine, the one that restores the balance, the equilibrium of society. The hope and the destiny of all people, if they're true and honest is for peace, prosperity, and safety amongst themselves and with others. That is our duty. Thinking, believing servants of the Creator of the heavens and the earth, it is our duty to sustain that, to promote that. And again, if we have faults, if we have errors, if we have dilemmas, if we have shortcomings, do something good. Give some charity. Cut back something that you love. We're coming into the blessed month of Ramadan. It's called blessed month because we believe that revelation began during that month. But also it is called the blessed month because it is the month that we are holding on to the most blessed thing. So yes, the event happened, and people have every day. You were born. You have a birthday. And every year you celebrate your birthday or you acknowledge your birthday. Is that the bigger issue, or is it that, okay, every year I acknowledge the development, the improvement of my life? The emphasis should be on what is more useful, what is more vital. Not just, oh, it was a time, it was a great day. That's good. But it's more proper, it's more better that as we go into the month of Ramadan, that we take internal inventory on our souls, on our attitude, on our actions, and we check it ourselves. Allah has given each and every individual the authority, the responsibility to pilot their own soul. No one has the authority to manage your soul. Allah has given each individual the ability to manage their own soul, their own attitude, their own reasoning. So we are thankful to Allah for allowing us to come close. We're close, less than 30 days, to another month of Ramadan, where we will leave off our appetites, sexual appetites for our wives, food, our bodies, even things as leisure, something we do that are very leisurous. We'll try to read more Quran, learn more science, visit more of the sick. And the more we do that, as the sister showed us, the more we come in contact with the unity that's already there, the better we will be, the better our societies will be. And the thing that is popular won't be as such popular. Allah says that he is the one that is going to make the religion more popular, more apparent than the idolaters like it, whether they like it or not. So they have, Islam is real popular now, but it's not given the right light, but it's still popular, right? But Allah says that it's going to be popular in the sense of the influence. It's going to have the best influence. It's going to have the best picture. And that is all of our responsibility. We're thankful to you for allowing us to be here. We're thankful to Allah for allowing us to be here. We thank our brother Imam Alfred Muhammad for calling on us and challenging us and charging us with this trust. We're thankful to you all who tune in day after day, who support in any way you can. We have the Ramadan sessions coming up throughout the country, but primarily we have it where it began, with the mosque cares in Tinley Park. We also have the convention coming up, the country. There are Muslims convening throughout this country, but we also are blessed to know that we have it where it originated, again in Tinley Park, in the center of the state. So we'd like to leave with you this verse from Surah 48, Surah Al-Fath, meaning the victory. As Al-Fatiha, the opening victory, this is also a reference to the victory. Again, we will read it in the Quranic Arabic, and then we will give its meaning. وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يغفر لمن يشاء ويؤذب من يشاء وكان الله غفور رحيم. And Allah is the sovereignty of the heavens and the earth. He forgives whom he will, and he punishes whom he will. And Allah is ever forgiving and merciful. Let us not think for one moment that we have the ability to do what God does. Let us be thankful. Let us submit and surrender our will to his. We thank you again for joining us on Religion Means Alive with Imam Alfred Muhammad. Tune in tomorrow, same time, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We greet you all as we began with the greetings of peace and paradise. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That is, the peace that God wants for you, established for you, the mercy that he wants for you, he will establish for you, and the blessing. We wish the blessings that God wants for you and that he will establish for you. Thank you.